Ready.
There are 3 participants in this conference.
I'm sure there's some more will hop on here soon.
Maybe everybody. I wonder if we're on BBS now. Are we on? I'm going to assume we're on. Welcome to all of you who are tuning in on BBS. This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call, BBS simulcast, where we have conversations with beings that say they're in other realms, and they answer questions for us. So I don't tell anybody to believe it's true. You can use your own discernment and decide for yourself by the quality of the way they answer and how it feels. And all those little things coming in are people checking into our conference line. Terry, are you on yet?
Here I am.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry is my partner on the show. And she's the person that actually hears voices in her head. Instead of having little men in white coats take her away, she's becoming a very shy, well-known person who's able to do this. So during the day, she works as a legal secretary in her mild-mannered Clark Kent, they say Clark Kent, uniform, and then in the evening we're doing these shows. Gina's been checking people in. Is there anyone else that checked in that didn't say their name in the city?
Hi, I'd like to ask the number for the conference call on Sundays.
Let me tell you how to find it out.
So I don't have the internet anymore.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Who is that asking?
This is Laura Reese. Yes.
I have it here in front of me, Wynn.
Well, do you? Go ahead. Let me just tell people, since we're saying this, every Sunday morning we do a planetary and personal healing session, which is probably our most powerful call. And it's our most powerful call because we focus on connecting with the energies. Whereas on Monday and Wednesday, the energies are still here, but the focus is more on bringing forth information and understanding. And on the Sunday call, it's totally focused on the energies. And we've had many experiences of people who have checked into our Sunday calls and have had something heal just because they were on the call. And we've also had situations where we put some planetary situation in the light, and after the call, something shifted on the planet. Now, maybe that was coincidence, and maybe it wasn't. But we keep doing these calls because people are feeling really uplifted of the call. And it's an hour and a half call, and the energy holds for the entire call. And there's a sense of direction and understanding for what's happening on our planet right now that I'm not sure anyone else is out to the public in the way that we are. So if you happen to be listening for the first time, you can kind of get some background by going to www.messageaday.net. And hi, why don't you share the call on Sunday? Go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, so Laura, this is the same phone number as tonight, 712-432-1600. But then the access code is 368-522.
Wait a second. Hi, that's tonight.
No.
I'm sorry. Same phone number as tonight. The access code is 1099743#.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Great. anyone else on the call that wants to say hello?
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Jean in South Dakota, and who else is there?
Zoe, Sacramento.
Hi, this is
Zoe.
Edna from Indiana.
Zoe in Sacramento, and Edna in Indiana, and anyone else?
This is Heis from Magalia, California.
Hi, Heis.
Hey, man.
And, okay, so, Terry, you're still on the line, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now, be sure and concentrate on getting the telephone near your mouth so that we have clear and loud communications. Can you guys hear me well right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Terry, why don't you say, count to 10, and let's see if we hear you well.
Can anybody hear me well? I'm in the lobby of the Bank of America building in downtown.
We can't hear you well. You're very low.
I'm in the lobby of the Bank of America building in downtown L.A.
What are you doing there?
That's as far as I need it.
Are you counting your money?
No.
Still pretty low. Are you have a safe place to be?
Well, I could walk to my car. It's about a couple of blocks to my car. I could walk to my car and sit in my car, and then I could have a better volume.
Well, you know what? I can talk while you walk a couple of blocks, okay?
Okay.
Why don't we do that? Okay. We have a topic tonight, and if God is good, why is the world so difficult so oftentimes? And I think that's a really good question, because I know particularly right now many people are going through difficulties. Everyone's a little concerned about the economy, about earth changes, and the economic condition and their health and all these things. And why do we have to go through that? Why?
Will we not be on BBS tonight?
I'm on BBS. Can you hear me on BBS?
Oh, I thought, are we broadcasting already?
Yeah, we're broadcasting already. Thank you. Thank you for checking.
You start your own recorder.
Oh, yeah. I got to start my own recorder. Thank you.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
So, in just a couple comments on that question for myself, you know, we've been talking to the Elohim and to the Ra groups, or these voices that identify themselves as that, for about 7 years. And, you know, I know that our work has helped a lot of people. I know that. I know that from the emails I get. And I'm really, really honored to be in the position that. But on the other side of the coin, I can say it hasn't necessarily made life easier for the people that are doing it. In fact, sometimes it made life very difficult. And I had to evaluate, you know, I'm kind of a person that observes and watches things very carefully. And what I do is I call it reverse engineering. If I look at a pattern over and over again, and there's a reoccurring pattern, then it kind of tips me off to the source of that pattern. Now, this actually works for all of you also. All of us are involved in patterns. Patterns that are, we could call them overlays to our consciousness. They're not in our conscious mind. We're not consciously doing it. Like we there's certain things we can control consciously. Like we can say, I'm driving my car to the, or I'm going to pick up the phone and call BBS and get on this line. We can do that. You know, open our mouth and we can talk and we can say something. But then we have these things that keep repeating in our lives that we're not trying to do, and yet the world keeps feeding something back to us, and people keep reacting to us in a certain way, and these are the patterns I'm talking about. Oftentimes, people think that those patterns are who they are. In other words, they feel stuck. They don't even realize it's a pattern. They say, this is just my nature. And when you do that, you stop growing. You stop looking because you don't start. Well, what I know for certain is that who you are today is not necessarily going to be who you are tomorrow and who you are the next day and who you are the next week. It's who you are today. But how do you become something different tomorrow? How do you become something different next year? I'm going to mute everybody just a moment.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
So how do you become something different? And something different may not even be something better. It could be better. But what causes a person to become something better? And what causes a person to get worse? How does that occur on a cosmic level and on a personal level? And I look at that very carefully because I certainly want to be better, and I know many of you on the line want to be better. What does being better mean? Being better means healthy. It means being functional, feeling loved, being able to love, being able to feel that you have something to contribute to other people. And when you start doing all of that, you say, geez, I didn't know I could do this. I thought I was just worthless. Nobody liked me. Everyone turned away. And, you know, I have one friend. I don't know. Maybe she's not listening. I'll talk about her. I won't say her name. But she's gone through extremely hard times, extremely, sometimes to the point of feeling like she'd rather do suicide and get out of this realm. And she looks at everybody and she says, well, everybody has it together. Everybody seems to be together but me. Everyone seems to be happy but me. Why can I not be like other people? And why do I feel so excluded? Well, I used to try to explain this to her, and I had my take on it. And my take was that she was someone who was actually a very advanced soul in many ways, and that the things that other people were doing that made them happy wouldn't make her happy. She had to find a way to express her own matrix, her own beingness in an authentic way. And she kept trying to think that she was meant to participate in life in the way she saw everyone else participating, and she didn't fit. Not only that, she irritated people because when somebody has, I'm calling it an advanced soul, maybe another way of saying it is a bigger hologram, a bigger space. When you're living inside having a bigger hologram, you don't experience it that way. You wouldn't even say that to yourself. You might feel like, why don't I fit anywhere? Just like this lady. Why does everyone else fit but me? Because you need to find a circumstance that matches your own hologram, your own energy. Otherwise, you have to contract and act like you're something else, and part of you knows it's a lie and you're just acting. Well, part of you knows it, but if you act long enough, like smaller than you are, you end up being smaller than you are and forgetting your larger hologram. It just becomes very distant, and now you're hooked into the reincarnational patterns of this planet because you chose to. You chose to say, I want to fit in. How do I fit in? And so you compressed yourself to fit in, and you forgot all the other stuff. So what a difficult dilemma. On one hand, you're advanced, you have a large hologram, and you feel alienated, you don't fit, you feel isolated, no one understands you. And on the other hand, you try to fit in, you compress yourself, and you lose your own spiritual promise and growth. So this happens for millions of people. They're caught up in this. And if you have read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, you know that the source who speaks through David Wilcock talks about that kind of person and calls them a wanderer. And a wanderer, in the context of that book, is not just somebody that wanders around. It's a person who wandered in from a higher dimension, i.e. that there are these group souls that are beyond this realm, and that they're kind of oversouls for this realm, and they're composed of souls like ours. As far as they say, they're like ours, but they've graduated, and they don't have to be bound to reincarnation and physical bodies, and they work at trying to help us free ourselves from some of the problems that happen in this realm. And many of them chose to come back and reincarnate into this realm, knowing that once they were here, they would forget why they came. And they would have to rediscover that mission of coming back here to help by finding things here that would remind them of their original purpose. And according to the Carla Rucker Raw readings, 90% of all those beings get lost, get stuck again, back in cycles of reincarnation, and maybe for a long, long time. And yet they keep coming back. They keep coming here, hoping to be of service here. Why would they do that? Why would they take the chance, knowing that there's a 90% likelihood, at least in the life that they come in on, of forgetting and losing themselves again in this realm? I think the reason is because it's the nature of the sacrifice, because if nobody did that, if none of the beings from higher realms came back to this realm and volunteered, this realm would be lost forever to the negative. And so I don't know all the exact implications of that, but I do know, you know, those of you who have been listening on these calls for a while know that we did a series of calls on how the Elohim created the universe. And we started talking about sex, and we never got past the amoeba, and that's a pending topic that we'll pick up one day. But it's very interesting because it was like there were shooting energies and keep in mind, when we talk and think about creating the universe, think in terms of physicality. We think in terms of time, space, time and space. But how about if you're starting to build something and there's no such thing as time and there's no such thing as space? So the first thing is you have to create time and space. So how do you create time and space? How does that work? Well, there has to be a memory of something behind you and something in front of you. There has to be markers of something different. And damned if I can answer that question myself, because I start thinking about it and it boggles my mind. But the voices that talk to us through Terry, they explain that they're still outside of time and space. They are outside of time and space, and they can move into space and time as love light energy, and they can move in through somebody who's sensitive, like Terry, who can pick up their words, and they can experience our realm through Terry or through somebody who allows their energies to penetrate. Now, Terry, I'm just checking. Are you back on the line yet?
Yes, I am. I'm back on the line.
Are you in the car?
Yes.
You're in the car?
Yes.
Okay. Good. We can start because now everyone won't be sending me emails telling me I talked too long. So the topic tonight, did you hear the topic earlier? Terry does never know what I'm going to ask. There's no way she can prepare for these kinds of answers. And you know, for somebody who's a skeptic, which I hope everyone should be a skeptic, you have to ask yourself when you hear us do this, where does she get those answers from? Because she, you know, if you talk to her like a normal person, she's a normal person. Well, I don't know if I would exactly say you're a normal person, but when you ask a philosophical question or something, she certainly does not have access to the answers. And yet we ask things here on this line, and the most amazing things come through. So I try to pick topics that I think would help people. And the idea that there's a God and that we suffer down here, sometimes we think we're supposed to suffer. In certain religions, they embrace suffering. Suffering is a way of growth, purging yourself of quote-unquote sins. And I'm not so sure that was the way it was designed, and I'm not so sure that's necessary. But I do know one thing in terms of the idea of suffering. That is, when you've done things, or not even done them yourself, had things done to you. And this is one of, as I see it, the tragedies of this realm, that oftentimes people just end up in the wrong place and things get done to them that impact their souls so profoundly that it takes them lifetimes to recover. And it was only a luck of the draw. It wasn't that they were bad or that they did something wrong. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and something happened, and it stuck. Now, to my human mind, that doesn't seem fair. But yet, I know that happens. So we're going to enter in some questions about this kind of topic with our source tonight and see what comes up. So when we start this, we do a little what I call invocation to the light. You know, when I do this invocation, it uses the word God. And every time I say that, I think there's somebody on the line that's listening, that's new, that's listening for the first time. and they go unconscious because they move into the old way of relating to the word God, and I don't relate to it in that way. Although, if you do use that word in the old way with high intention, it still works. So it's not that you shouldn't use it, it's just that my own learning about all of this has expanded my own perspective of who God is. Because if I was going to say the old way, we think of a conscious being. We think of someone like ourselves, and then we apply things like omniscience. They can do anything. There's no limits. They have children, as was Jesus. And yet, my mind can't even begin to understand how that works. So my new understanding is the idea that the universe operates as a team. But ultimately, the team is one. Ultimately, we are one. And that oneness is where we would find God. Now, you can call on that oneness, and part of the team will answer and assist you. That's what I have come to understand. Or you can call on the team, and part of the team will come and assist you. It really doesn't matter. They don't care. They just need someone to ask and make a request, because that is their criteria. They don't violate your free will. So in order to do something down here, somebody has to ask. You can try this. If you're one of those people that has made connection with the energies on this line, then when you're by yourself sometime and no one's around, say, okay, I'm going to ask to feel your presence right now. I'm going to ask, and shut your eyes and be quiet and see if an energy comes in. See if you can feel it. That's how they work. And we're helping people on these calls feel those energies. Maybe some people for the first time. Maybe some people have felt it and didn't know what it was. And now we have the voices speaking to us who say they're the originators of those very energies. And we have the chance to not just feel the energies, but to get clarification of how those energies work and how we can learn to access them and utilize them for ourselves and for the good of our planet, for the good of each other. So on that note, I'll stop talking. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the center of our galaxy, through the energies of the planets, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness connection amongst all those present on this line and all those who will listen to this tape in the future. And we can shut our eyes for a moment and feel the connection. And we invite those sources who have identified themselves as a conglomerate of two group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group, to join with our energies and answer some questions for us. And since we just did that, why don't you shut your eyes again and feel how the connection feels when they join us. Now, if you can feel that, that's something you can call on anytime. They're not here because I'm special. I just learned to ask and watch that every time when I do this, they respond. I didn't know that would happen at first, but it's been that way. And so each of you has that same potential to call on them, and they show up. And the key to it is when they do show up, don't get egotistical about it. Don't go off on it. Be very humble and grateful for the experience, because as soon as you start to, how would I say it, aggrandize yourself, you lose it. It's a very quiet and gentle space. And to learn to hold that for long periods, and in fact, after a while, it just becomes part of your life, and you realize you're connected all the time. Then you don't have to worry about being lonely. You still have to worry about making money because you're still in this realm. You still have to worry about your worldly responsibilities. But you do it from a place of being connected. And I will now be quiet and let them address us.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you this May 10th, 2010, focused in downtown Los Angeles and also focused in each and every location where there is a listener or there will be a listener. We are available to you and open for your intention or your request. It is a time of difficulty. The difficulty is increasing at this point. It is an economic difficulty. Not only is it an economic difficulty, but it is a difficulty in that the increasing energies as the Earth moves into further alignment within the arm of the galaxy in alignment with the Honab Ku, it brings forth floods of energy. These energies then jostle the fixed geometrical configurations that have built up and gotten stable over the eons. It creates a tumbling effect and starting of movement within patterns and in solid matter, for instance, within Earth and along fault lines. Areas that are more open to movement begin to move, and this creates a letting go of the homeostasis and creates a movement wherein the human race and the planet then realign. Do you have questions?
Yes. And, you know, we can look at all that as a big motion. It's a cosmic play. But on the human level, people are going to suffer. And some people might even die. And why was the universe created to allow this kind of potential? And why do innocent people suffer?
Individuals in aligning with vocations and in aligning with their own patterns now have a chance for growth. Sometimes growth is uncomfortable. However, patterns, once they have been established, do not provide for adequate growth in many instances. If the individual is open to grow and to change, one can move with the flow and can take new things into account. Death and transition are opportunities for renewal and growth, as the crop in the fall die, and then in the spring there is a renewal and a growth, a sprouting out of the leaves and the further growth in the trees, the bushes, and the crops then grow anew. This is part of the cycle of the third density.
I would say most people look at death as a punishment, and they cling to not dying. How is it a person can change their attitude? I know myself, after all these conversations with you, I have changed because I said, okay, I'm going to go on. I've kind of grounded that. I have incorporated it at such a deep level that the fear of leaving this realm is not gripping me. How can a person who is still in that fear come to the realization that death is a transition and not a punishment?
Give us a moment. When an individual is drawn to circumstances into the death experience and then is reborn anew, then they can be joyous in the new life and the renewal and feel positive and successful, wherein at the end of their life they had many problems that would not transfix, such as illnesses that limited their movement, illnesses that limited their awareness of their mind. One can look at the limitations that their body is going through and can picture that this is not a permanent situation, that the stuck situation eventually will pass and the renewal will happen. In the meantime, when they are in the situation, the difficult situation and the suffering, they can stop criticizing themselves for being in that situation. Life presents situations. If they criticize themselves, they punish themselves for situations which they are simply passing through. So one
can just mark it down as the situation of the time and still honor and love themselves as the spirit, wonderful being that they are. They aren't the situation. They are body. And they will be moving past that. When one considers themselves as having a beautiful body and not overweight, and they see on the TV and on the billboards that they have the ideal in society of this being the best, most favorable, and the most lovable. However, this at the basic level is not true, although it is posted everywhere and everyone gets tinged by this. Wherever a person is at, they should realize that they are a beautiful treasure. They are a part of all that is. They are part of God and as such are treasured. And charity starts at home where they can send love and caring to their own self instead of criticism for being in a difficult circumstance.
When someone is sick or they have oppression in their life, there is a tendency to think, maybe I did something wrong and I'm being punished. And in fact, there is a connection on some level with things they did in past lifetimes, things that happened to them in past lifetimes. And I said this earlier, things happen sometimes even when the person wasn't doing anything wrong, but they just were at the wrong place at the wrong time, or they married the wrong person, or they moved to a city and there's a tsunami, something like that, or they were captured and became a slave of some sort. And how should a person relate to their past track in terms of their present circumstances when they have a tendency to say, I must have been bad, that's why this is happening to me?
That is a very big generalization. I must have been bad. And that would be a possibility. However, let's assume that that was the case. What can a person do at that point? They can observe their patterns, their reactions, their thoughts, and put it up as a catalog that when they experience that thought, it is a replay of something that happened on the past track. And at the basic level, that is not them. That is something that happened that they have duplicated, that they have played out, that they have dramatized, that has led to unfortunate trauma and circumstances, and then trauma lights on the matrix and tries to rearrange the matrix into a different configuration, feeling bad, sending bad thoughts to oneself to attempt to control that pattern. is sometimes done and can sometimes be a last resort. However, it is not the final answer. The final answer is to take apart the ball of yarn that is connected, that is creating the pattern, and to dismiss it. And as one totally gets to understand it and see it in all its ramifications, then indeed it is no longer there. As the individual started out as a fine and pure and good individual before they encountered this trauma, or before they did a series of or even one bad incident, then when one did that, one tends to justify the reasons for it and wants to make it right. An individual wants to be right, because if they are wrong, it does not lead to good survival, and it tends to tear up the matrix that the individual has set up. So sometimes it is tricky to disarm some of these patterns. It takes observation and not fighting it so much as to observe it and see the thoughts involved and see what happened just before those thoughts. What were the thoughts before the other thoughts? And when one can get down and then see the trigger, there is usually a trigger of an event or a similarity of some kind, a similar sensation, a similar auditory sound, a similar visual appearance that brings this in. And then as one finds out more what brings in and triggers this pattern, one then gets more of a handle on it. It is can be a hard assignment to take something apart, as sometimes it is not entirely the person's own, as one can be have an individual around them that say in a as in a possession that makes it very difficult to keep one's own center. And then in one case, that case, they can observe and see where this is coming from, and it doesn't seem to be theirs, then they can spot that and they can send the other being into the light.
Thank you. You know, Jesus used the terminology being reborn in spirit, and of course forgiveness was a very important concept in traditional Christianity, being reborn in spirit and mastering forgiveness. That seems to be connected with some of what you're saying. The idea being that all the things in our past track that created the present have the potential to be let go of in a moment and be reborn in spirit, or being recreating yourself in the moment without that baggage. Am I on the track of something with that?
It is dependent upon the elements that the individual has let go of, if it does not totally clear, then they're holding on to some more of the elements of it, or some of the elements, than if it's a case of a person hanging around them, a spirit, it can then take the dismissal of that spirit to let go of this and to be reborn.
Thank you. Well, we've run out of time. It's 6:50. And do you have any comments to close this topic before we disconnect?
When an individual comes into the third density, they take on a very difficult project and job just to move through the third density and to come back unscathed. And we say that each and every individual at his own heart is still okay, is still fine, and is still a beautiful being, no matter what. I did not.
Thank you. So I thank everyone who's listening on BBS, and I thank all of you who are listening on the replay line.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
And I thank all of you who are on our conference call. And I unmuted everybody, so we can wish each other goodbye, and we'll be on Wednesday night for our question and answer session that you guys submit. Thank you, and have a great week.
Wynn, thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
There are 9.